This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
شما در این قرن معجزه کردید. ملت ایران ملت معجزه آسای قرن است.
الله اکبر. خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر. خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello and welcome to our audience, and a warm welcome to our listeners of our program, The Man Who Changed the World. This is a program dedicated to the life and times of Imam Khomeini. May God bless his great soul. And on this program, I'd like to welcome my expert and guest, Dr. Mahdi Tarabi. I'd like to say salam to him and welcome him to the program, first of all. Salam, sir.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for inviting me.
Yes. Dr. Mahdi Tarabi, I think on a previous session, we were talking about the fact that this is a spiritual thing when we say death to America, because many journalists and people who view this particular phenomenon here in Iran since the early days of the revolution say that they feel that a death to America is coming along any moment now. During the khutbah, during the speech at the Friday prayers. Tell me, you know, in terms of what Imam Khomeini said about America, and when we look at it, relations at the moment, 35 years on, where, you know, there are overtures, diplomatic overtures, between some kind of rapprochement between Iran and the U.S., but we still see that the positions are completely opposite to one another. We can't see how these two nations can, in any shape or form, come together. Your take, sir, I mean, I think I feel another death to America coming on personally as I sit here. give me your take on that, sir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Please feel free.
Thank you. Death to America. Because really, I mean, I'm at this moment in time, honestly, because of Syria, and because of many other issues, even what happened at Guantanamo Bay to those poor individuals, who some of them were innocent, were lifted from Afghanistan and tortured horrendously in that
place. Some of them were kids.
And some of them were kids. They were. Right. Innocent kids. I mean, I myself personally would be more happier to utter these three words. And, you know, with the spiritual significance with which Imam Khomeini, may God bless his grace, because he doesn't say things for no reason, that this is the great Satan. He was saying it.
That's what I'm going to say.
There's a fundamental nature to this particular creature, which we have to avoid.
I think, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Imam Khomeini said something much worse or much heavier or much more intense.
Deeper than
death to America. Yes. He said America is the great Satan.
He said. Absolutely. Okay.
That's worse. That's more intense.
Yes.
Okay?
It is.
Right. So, you know, because, you know, there's a lot of stuff being said these days, like, oh, you know, if you just don't say that, then, you know. But I think Imam's view of America was basically, as we've discussed in some programs previously, which is that you have a taghut. You have an entity which claims to be ruling and which claims to have sovereignty without God's permission.
Exactly.
Okay.
This is the fundamental point.
Now, it could
point.
Be
this
taghut.
This is the Quranic point.
Right.
Yes.
And then, you know, it sources it out. It has its local little taghuts like the Shah during the time.
Yes.
And, you know, who can't go to the bathroom without asking America's permission.
Permission, yes.
You know.
He needed it in writing.
So, and taghut is a Quranic concept.
Yes.
It's not something that Imam made up. It's
not something
the Muslims have just made up.
No.
It's
no.
in the Quran in the sense Quran. That it says that, you know, don't follow the taghut. Don't follow those who, without permission of God, without any credibility, without
any legitimacy,
are claiming to be, you know, God's savior and, you know, the chosen people and those who will, you know, bring peace and prosperity and happiness and justice and the American way to the rest of the world, okay?
Absolutely.
So Imam's animosity, enmity, confrontation with the U.S. was with the essence of what they are.
Yes.
Okay, it has nothing to do with specifically America, you know,
doing this or doing that.
Right, as a historical entity.
Yeah, or some kind of, you know, erroneous policy that they had in foreign relations.
If the Soviets were claiming the same thing, he would say the same thing.
Exactly.
If the Chinese were claiming the same thing, he would say the same
thing
about them. If the Indians were claiming the same thing, he would say the same thing. If the French were claiming the same thing, he would say the same thing about them.
Sure.
So it's about Imam's enmity is not simply a historic one rooted in the troubled history between Iran and the U.S.
And the U.S.
And the way the U.S. supported the most vile people as rulers and as torturers and as executioners in this country.
In this country of the Islamic
Republic, killing
our,
you know, this is not some theoretical matter.
No, this
happened. When you have America supporting, you know, a dictator, a brutal dictator, a security service which, you know, just executes, tortures, imprisons people at
anything
will,
that they had to say about the monarch.
These are actually people's fathers, uncles, brothers, cousins, yourself, even mothers, even sisters. So it's not some theoretical thing. It's a real thing on a daily basis. We know what the Americans did.
Mm.
You know, you can't forget about that. You can't just say, oh, well, you know, it was a and they still do it.
Yes.
Like you were saying. Mm. It's not like they've changed. It's not like they made a mistake and they said, "Well, sorry about that."
No. No, they wouldn't
even
sorry.
We're not going to have secret CIA prisons anymore.
No.
We're not going to have, you know, Guantanamo, you know, people being picked up from places randomly and dropped into a little enclave in Cuba so that nobody can claim that you brought them to US soil.
Sure.
You know.
No, but it's
not like that the US has stopped doing these things. No. It's not like that the US has stopped, you know, having massive surveillance and, you know, spying on every, you know, cockroach that, you know, walks the earth.
Sure.
So it's like, you know, why would we want to forget about all that?
Exactly. And why would you want to forget the fact that it was the U.S. and, of course, the what we call the cannibal allies now, the,
right.
you know, the Takfiris of the, you know,
yes.
Saudi persuasion, you know, which we see now occurring 35 years on. But at that time, they were supporting a brutal dictator in Iraq and imposed an 8-year war.
Right. And, you know, and
using
people,
and supplying him with chemical weapons.
Right. So these are things that, you know, we can't suddenly say, you know, why would Imam say this about anyone or any nation?
Exactly.
Because they deserve it.
They deserve that, yes. Because they fundamentally in nature and characteristic have not changed.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, this is a problem we have in Iran with certain people because they are genetically predisposed to think that if we have quote unquote good relations, you know, then everything is going to
be somehow rosy.
Right. Then we will have paradise on earth, you know. And this is a deep issue. This is not, you know what I mean? This is a deep spiritual disease.
The disease, I think so.
Okay?
Yeah.
It's not simply a miscalculation or a lack of, you know, proper understanding of the realities of international relations or an ignorance of U.S. history. It's all that.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm.
It's all that,
it's
what
all
I just
that.
Mentioned.
Yes.
But the root of it, the cause, the real cause of it is a deep spiritual disease, thinking that if you just hook up with the biggest, you know,
devil on the
godfather
earth.
That is, you know, mafia don that's running things, then you will be okay.
Yeah.
Just don't let the don, you know, kill you.
Exactly.
If you've got the don running the neighborhood, don't stand up to the don. Right?
Quite.
And
quite.
This is a disease.
It is.
It's the disease that, you know, Imam Hussein went to Karbala to fight.
Exactly.
You know, just don't mess
very
with Muawiyah. Don't mess with Yazid.
Ah.
Okay?
Yeah, keep quiet.
Keep quiet. Just do your thing.
Do your thing.
Right?
But don't say anything
to the
Umayyads.
Go kiss the hand and the ring when you have to.
Yes.
And, you know,
make
if you can get out of it, if you can get something good out of it, good. If not, he will crush you.
He will crush you.
And this comes from a lack of belief. I'm talking about real, real belief, not just something you
superficially we're talking
utter
about
with your tongue, or you know, I've read the Quran, I believe in God.
Yes,
it's believing that God actually is the
true
active
sovereign.
Live agent in one's life.
Life, yes.
As opposed to, you know, he created billions of years ago. Now he's sitting on the side,
yes,
giving it. You know, let the Americans do it. Okay? This is, and let me be very open about this.
Yes.
And some people are not going to like this. It's a form of shirk.
Very beautifully put, sir.
They're mushrik. And we even have this in theology.
We do.
We have, you know, tawhide zati. Mm. We have essential tawhid, which relates to the, you know, the existence of God. So we say, you know, there's only one God. And, you know, most people, because they can't really fathom it on a deeper level, they say, of course, you know, we don't have multiple gods.
No.
Right? Then we have...
But they're talking
then
in terms of numbers.
Then we have tawhide sifati, which is relates to... sifat, which relates to the characteristics and the names of God.
Yes.
That, you know, even though there's different names of God, they are not in conflict with each other. This is what we talked about in the previous program.
Sure.
We said, you know, the vengeance and, you know, the justice is within his rahmah. So these are not separate from each other.
No.
Okay? Now, and then we have, you know, this is where the people have a problem, which is, you know, it's called tawhid rububiyat in his Rab, him being the Lord. The actual Lord that does the things.
Yes, the sovereign
it's
Lord.
It's not simply some, you know, old man with a white beard in the sky.
Unfortunately,
you know.
Still with that kind of image.
This is where most of us become mushrik.
Mushrik.
And I'm talking about people who pray and fast and read the Quran. And,
exactly.
You know, are
good
Muslims.
Because I wanted to point out very quickly from the Holy Quran, especially this example is very, very crucial if you really want to believe as a Muslim, as someone who has submitted and surrendered himself to the Sovereign Lord, is Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam.
Right.
Because he's the Hanif. He's the one who understood the ultimate reality, the ultimate sense of who his Lord actually is. And once you have that picture that this is the one who watches me, cares for me, provides for my provision, my sustenance, my life or my death, this is the reality on which we are weak. Are we not?
Let me give you an example.
Please.
I'm assuming that we're going to get to the point in these so-called negotiations with the U.S. Mm-hmm. where the U.S. is going to say, we want this from you.
Mm-hmm.
The Iranians are going to say, we want this from you.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sure.
Mutually
sure.
wanting things.
Mutually, yeah.
Right? And you're not. Neither side is going to be able to deliver what the other side wants.
Exactly.
For many reasons.
Yes,
whether
of
it's related to domestic issues at home, whether the Congress, whether it's related to, you know, Iran having its red lines in terms of its sovereignty and you know, its national dignity.
Sure.
We're going to get to a point in these negotiations. Yeah. And, you know, they're giving themselves 6 to 9 months. I think it's, you know, maybe a year.
Mm.
They're going to get to a point where they're like, you know what, we can't do this.
No.
And then the Americans are going to go on TV and they're going to be like, it was the Iranians' fault.
Their fault.
The people here in Iran who are, you know, dying to be, you know, Americans, you know, even though they look like monkeys when they imitate them. But anyways, they like to be American monkeys.
Sure.
Those in Iran will, you know, start writing their articles and their news, you know, they're going to go on and say, oh, you know, Iranians didn't, you know, play ball.
But play ball, yes. Right. They'll blame fellow Iranians.
Iranian officials are going to be like, no, the Americans were making outlandish demands. We couldn't give in to those demands. We wanted things from them. They weren't willing to do one single thing.
Sure.
So this whole thing is going to be over in a year.
Yeah, I think
okay?
so. Okay? I think so.
And we're going to go back to the way it was. In terms of, you know, people understanding what the realities are.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm.
The problem is that, you know, certain people, I'm talking about Muslims, they don't understand that let's assume that this happens, that everything falls apart, and the Iranian officials are steadfast, saying, you know what, we're not going to submit to this, even though there might be pressure from the sanctions, even though there's going to be, you know, price issues and inflation and so on.
Absolutely.
We're not going to go begging to the taghut. We're not going to go begging to the zalim.
Exactly.
To the oppressor, right? And imagine if this happens, and then God suddenly turns the whole thing around.
Ah. Because that's something that does happen.
Because that's what he tells you. He says, you know, he says in the Quran, he says, you know, shaitan, you know, threatens you and scares you with
poverty
and corruption.
Corruption.
And izzat is from me.
Me.
And I give you, and I promise you honor and izzat and dignity.
Yes.
Okay. Now, wouldn't it be nice if some of these people in Iran would actually think about what God is telling them?
Exactly.
And didn't we see it happening? In these years,
yes.
Wherever we stood up for Islam,
yes.
We followed what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling us in the Quran and what the Prophet was telling us and what the Aimeh were telling us. Whenever we did that, we were successful. You know, there's, you know, Aghi Qarati, who's famous in Iran. I'm sure you've seen him, you know, on TV. You know, he's the one that did the whole literacy campaign after the revolution, you know. And he says, don't say America when you're not doing well. Don't say it's America. Say Israf. Say that you've been wasteful.
Oh.
Because when you're wasteful, Allah takes away the things that He's given you. So we have a society when people are wasteful. They don't, you know, thank God for the blessings that they have. They don't reflect on what happened, you know, 2 days ago in their life.
Yes.
When Allah honored them with, you know, the way they were trying to go on that path of Quran, and where they failed, and they were in misery when they were groveling at the feet of some you know, Lord, you know, quote unquote, other than God. Mm. So what do you think is going to happen? If you go with God, not only is it a promise in the Quran, but our life in these years has shown this.
Yes.
Okay.
And you're an independent sovereign nation in these years.
All the sanctions, and look, in terms of, you know...
And the world acknowledges that.
In terms of knowledge and create, you know...
Creativity, innovation.
Innovation. And in terms of, you know, standard of living.
Progress and
I mean,
advance.
Look at the standard of living. If you compare it to 40 years ago, it's not comparable.
It's not comparable.
You know,
it's
a whole different world. No. You know, you had a situation, a country where people were peasants, where they were illiterate.
Yes.
And now it's like, you know, everybody's got, you know, their mobile. Everybody's got, you know, whatever. Yeah. Everything that, you know, you would expect a normal average
I think
person in the West to have.
To be honest, I have been to Tehran and I sometimes think that people have a better standard of living than many people in European nations. And I know
exactly, like we talked about.
Yeah, from personal experience, I can see that.
An average person in Iran, even though there's, you know, high prices.
A lot of difficulty, high prices, yes.
But on the average person, the middle class person in Iran, has a better quality of life than an average person in, you know.
In Europe.
Pick a city.
Athens.
No, I'm talking about even, you know...
Yeah, in Birmingham.
London.
Birmingham,
you know, Liverpool.
You know, Manchester, you know. Hull.
Glasgow.
Glasgow's a bit better. Right. Hull's one of the worst places in Britain.
Or some place in France or in Germany.
Yeah.
So the point is that Imam, when he starts saying these things, he says it's the great Satan, when he says they are the root of all problems in the world, and he said this...
That's right. The root of all problems in this world. Exactly. Yeah.
You had Bush and Condi Rice and those guys
deciding,
you know what? Because at that time, Bandar, our old friend.
Oh, yeah, Bandar.
He had left as ambassador of the U.S. and his half-brother, I think it was Faisal or Turkey, one of them.
Right. I remember that.
Right? Had come as the new ambassador.
New ambassador, yes.
Okay, and he was a little bit more moderate, and a little bit more worldly, and a little bit more, you know, diplomatic. Mm. And he basically said to the Americans, and the Americans and together, they decided, you know what, with this whole Iraq thing happening, with this whole Afghanistan thing happening, it would be good if we try to be a little, you know, our little rapprochement with Iran wouldn't hurt us. Right? Yeah. With this whole Israel under attack and, you know, Hezbollah and all that. Let's see what we can do here.
Yeah.
To this level, we're not talking about a real opening. Yeah, yeah, we're talking about, let's take away this hostility a little, this rhetoric a little, let's step it back. Mm. You know, I'm sure the Saudis were like, well, we can be, you know, we can mediate. Whatever.
Mediate, yes, yes.
Okay, so this is the Saudi ambassador in Washington saying this. Yes. Bandar gets a whiff of it back in Riyadh.
Mm.
Gets on his private jet, flies straight to Andrews Air Force Base.
Right.
Gets off the plane, goes to Condi and says, you can't do this.
Oh.
What do you mean, friends with Iran? Are you nuts? Right? What do you mean, rapprochement? What do you mean, you know?
Well, I'll give it to Bandar. At least he understands that aspect of everything.
It was so bad. Mm. It was so bad that whatever, Faisal Turki, whoever it was, he resigned as an ambassador.
My goodness.
He said, I'm the ambassador.
Yeah.
What are you flying over here for?
What are you here for? Exactly.
And once he realized that it's not, you know, there's issues, namely that, you know, the Israelis and the Saudis, Bandar and Bibi. Bandar
are
and
not
Bibi.
Gonna
That's
allow.
That's good. We gotta get
it. Yeah, Bandar and Bibi. Yeah,
Bibi Bandar. Bandar Bibi.
It sounds like, you know, the Bush Blair Corporation, BBC. But there we are. It's very good. Yes, right? Bandar and Bibi
had decided, you know, that, you know what, we need to, you know, whatever, cripple Iran or whatever.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You know, who cares what Faisal Turki...
Yeah. But I must...
So he resigned. He was ambassador for 15 months.
Sure.
Less than a little bit more than a year. Mm. After a while, he's like, you know what? I'm out of here. Because I can't work like this. I'm discussing things, and then this guy flies in. What I'm trying to explain is that this is nothing new.
No.
We had this during the Bush era you know, Bandar came and said, you know what?
Canceled
all
it.
Options on the table.
Sure.
And as, you know, usual... Condi and, you know, George and Donald and Dick.
Yes, Donald Dick. Yes, that's right. It makes a whole difference from Donald Duck, yes. But we're talking about the same kind of politics.
Exactly.
Yes,
all of them saluted. Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay. And yes. you know,
as Donald Duck would.
You know, Bandar was threatening them. You know,
yes,
he wasn't asking.
Yeah, yeah.
He was saying, we'll just go give our oil to the Chinese. Forget about dollar denomination of oil. Forget about allowing your ships access. You know, we're going to play you like we always do.
Do.
Crudely and openly and hard-fisted and ham-fisted.
Yes.
Okay?
Sure.
And they all said, you know what? You know, sorry.
Yes.
Sorry for mentioning it.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, fast forward to this.
Is this, yes.
You know,
yeah.
You know, Mr. Zarif does his thing, talking, you know,
sure.
Smiling, you know, negotiation.
Sure.
And what happens? Who flies in? Last time it was Bandar. This time it was Bibi.
Bibi.
All right? Flies in.
And dictates to
and says to, yeah, you know,
Obama, let's Hussein. Not have any of this.
And remember, his name is Hussein, right?
Yes.
To Hussein.
Yeah, to Hussein. We're not having any of this. Tighten the sanctions.
This is a, you know, a wolf in sheep's clothing. This
yeah.
is all lies.
Yes.
The Iranians are liars. They're genetically liars.
Yes.
It's all lies.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Very racist.
Oh, he is.
By the way, just
very
kind of crudish.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, imagine saying these generalities about Jews. Imagine
yeah.
what
uh-huh,
crazy
yes.
thing
oh,
would happen in the
goodness,
world.
The media would have a
you
field
know,
day.
If Ali Zarif or Ali
yes,
Rouhani would go in and be like, you know, the Jews can't be trusted because they always, you know, look after, for,
yeah, and then
they're always looking out for number
see,
one. You know, if somebody were to say, oh, the Jews always looking out for number one, always playing everyone. How dare anybody even say that, right?
Yes.
And I don't believe that that's the case with all Jews, but hey, somebody could look at history and say this is something they do.
Do, yeah.
Now imagine somebody saying that. No, but Bibi is allowed to come and say every insult
to
Iranians.
Yes.
And, you know, their character.
Say all those lies.
All those things that they have to. Oh, they're lying. You know, the religious leader is lying about not wanting atomic weapons. This is all a ruse. This is all, you know, whatever.
Sure.
Okay. And what does Hussein do? All options are
all back on the table.
Don't worry about it.
We will
get all we need to get out of Iran.
Sure.
Okay? So, this is who we're dealing with. Yeah. This is why the Supreme Leader said, you know, we have nothing against people talking to each other.
Sure.
But you have to remember who the party on the other side is.
Is.
You shouldn't forget who they are.
Who they are.
Okay?
Exactly.
And some people, unfortunately, in Iran...
Still don't get that.
And in the Islamic world, still don't understand
Stand
who
that.
America is.
Sure.
They still... have goodwill to them.
Sure.
They still think that. And this, to me, is not evidence of their goodness. The people who have this in their heart
sure.
is not evidence that they're good people.
No.
It's evidence that they are ignorant, that they have a disease in their heart.
Heart, yes.
That they have a flaw in their character.
If you don't mind me saying, Dr. Madhuchak, because, you know, in the last couple of minutes, I think Egypt's a wonderful example of what's exactly happening at the moment. They tried to be everything to everyone, especially to the U.S., and what happens? They get hijacked. And this is exactly the sort of thing that, thank God, with the leadership of Imam Khomeini, because this program is dedicated to the man who changed the world. Really, I mean, all my hat goes off to him every time that, you know, really this man was remarkable, that, you know, he had that foresight, that, you know, that vision, that he saw exactly things for what they were. And, you know, he clarified it for us. And this is why you've survived these 35 years. And God willing, if you carry on like that, and I love the fact that Bibi keeps doing that thing where he says, oh, we're a moment away by tightening the sanctions. Yes, we are a moment away by becoming even more independent and more stronger than we've ever been before.
And look, who is the crazy one now?
Yeah, who's the crazy one now?
Who's the one that everybody's making fun of?
Sure.
Who is the one they're like,
yeah,
this
people
dude's
are
crazy.
Laughing him out of the room.
Right? It's, look, just think about the people that Americans and the British elites have, you know, allied themselves with.
Exactly.
It's, you know, animals,
Bandar and Bibi
animals
show.
Like Bandar and Bibi.
Bandar and Bibi show.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, of all the people in the world.
For goodness
That you're going to be allied with.
Yeah.
Of all the people you're going to allow them to fly in their private jet into Andrews Fairs and come to you privately.
Yeah.
And
you're
getting Bandar
say.
To come? Who, you know, is funding the people who chop off heads with kitchen knives.
That's right. Christian priests who had their heads hacked off.
People who,
saws.
Yeah, who, like, they cut open the chests and take out hearts
and put them in.
And he likes it. Believe, he likes it.
Oh, yeah.
Don't think he's, like, revolted by it. Oh,
no,
I'm holding my nose.
No.
He's like, go do this.
Go and do this.
Because this will show our power and this will show how, you know,
yeah, how,
you
yeah.
can't mess with us,
yes,
you know?
Exactly.
And then Bibi, that, you know, who's, you know, I like to call him, you know, Bibi Smuts, you know, like Jan. Actually, Jan Smuts wasn't that bad. You know, Bota, Bibi yeah. Bota, you know? Yeah.
Bibi Bota.
Right? Yeah, so you know, who just hangs in there with apartheid. You know, the whole world is like, dude, you know, chill out on this. You know, separate roads, you know, for Palestinians and for Jews,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And no, he's like, no, that's it. We're sticking to this, you know? So these are the people that Western elites have allied themselves with. And the question for us, and the issue that we have to think about, and the issue that our listeners should, in my view,
consider
and reflect on, is not that you have animals like Bibi and Bandar in the world. They've always existed.
Well, they've always existed.
They've always done these things.
Yes.
The issue is, why would you, those people who are the elites, who are, you know, from your homes and your families and your colleges and your towns,
have any expectations of them,
and your churches and your synagogues and your, you know, mosques? Why would these people, who, you know, they're your cousins, they're your dads, your uncles, your, you know, brothers, your husbands, your wives, why would they even look at these people like Bibi and Bandar and consider them even worthy of their
attention?
Right. Where there's other people that they could be, you know, a nice, civilized, educated person.
Yes.
Okay? So the point I'm trying to simply make is, you know, why wouldn't you want to have good relations with a country like Iran that is a republic, that has elections, that has, you know, a deep, you know, complex structure where people are involved, where you have local elections, where you have 800,000, you know, people in this population running for...
Well, I think...
That you have a leader who talks about, you know, progress and standard of living and, you know, healthcare and education and technology and, you know, the main thing in life being that you have more knowledge. And why would you not, why would you want not align yourself with that and align yourself with Bandar?
Well, I think the other thing is that, you know, honestly, that the, you know, we come back to that NAM summit as well. I think that in itself said everything, that, you know, the majority of nations in this world are tired of this hegemony and they really do want to ally themselves with Iran. And, you know, wanting to make broader ties and expand ties and, you know, to learn about this Islamic civilization as well, as we've discussed before. And it just leaves me to say, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and mercy and blessings of Allah be upon you all. Thank you very much for listening and goodbye. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin.